T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The next batter for the White Sox, number 45, Carlos Lee.
I was so happy when they started playing that at the ballpark formerly known as U.S. Cellular Field. When Lee would stride to the dish, Terry.
Yes.
We played it on our show all the time. We start an hour with that. I have to imagine that's why Tanny picked it today. Knows his onions.
Yes.
In the White Sox media guide, Carlos Lee was described as the happy-faced Panamanian. So it's like, I never will forget that. That's wordsmithing, mister. That's how you get it done. The happy-faced Panamanian. Third sacker converted to left fielder.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? I really believe. How strong, I'm not sure. But I have some belief that they will actually be something before, sooner rather than later.
I think so.
Yeah. Thinking that.
Well, you know, they've been more
signs.
Entertaining. Yeah.
There's signs.
And the sign says, long-haired freaky people need not apply.
That's right. So I think there's certain things that are good, and yet there's also certain things that continue to bug you, like staying in one piece for 5 minutes. That bugs me. It hadn't had much luck with young players.
Rodon is the one that frustrates because it's perpetual with him, and you've seen reasons to believe he could be a valuable part of your rotation
if
he could stay healthy. He can't. But you knew that was coming. When the news broke last week, people were, you knew it was coming. And it came on the same day when you got the news about Nate Jones, which didn't devastate me.
No, that's
me
not, no, I'm not, de- no.
Nate,
no.
Nate Jones is, what? Yeah, just a guy.
That's what he
He's
is.
He's not special.
No.
He got hurt a few years ago and stopped being special.
That's the problem with the whole process of rebuilding. I mean, maybe in one day it used to be easier to do, but now, when you start this, you're not left with a lot of choice. You've committed to it. You've got it there. And yet the guys you most need to see, the most you need to keep on the field, the most you want on the field, the most you've waited years to get them in the right place, to draft them, to get them in the right place to succeed. The next you turn around and they're gone. I mean, it's difficult to read a rebuild anyway. But to read this one, I don't speak that. I don't know exactly. I still have some belief in it because I think there's still some pretty good young players there. But if you're going to continue to have this kind of luck with these kids, then forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're never going to succeed. Even in that division, which is not really, you know, everybody said, oh, the Tigers got this, the Tigers got, you got, you know, anytime you tell me, well, they've got four great young arms. Yeah, and when's the last time you saw four great young arms stay great? Without a hiccup.
I thought the Mets were going to be one of those teams 4 years ago, and how fast did they fall off the map?
That's what I mean. Everybody loves some great pitching. God, I really wish you had. Yeah, okay, I get that. But the White Sox have some other things, too, hopefully to fall back on, get him and his back healthy, get him in the lineup, get him on the field. But, I mean, right now, the White Sox luck is just not real good. And I say that hesitantly because a lot of teams in Major League Baseball share that pain with the guy you're counting on. And next thing you know, okay, he'll be back in 18 months.
They're not alone.
No. Next question, 18 months. Okay. Maybe do the math on that.
Whatever you want to get to us via text, 67011 is how you do that. Our text line is brought to you by MegaPros. Repair, remodel, renovate, megapros.com. And we were doing some White Sox because we haven't done much of it since you started with me yesterday afternoon. They didn't play Tuesday, so there wasn't much of a burning need for it yesterday. So we're talking a little bit about it today, a day after when the Cubs play. We've been on the air for 2 hours. And before we just started commenting on the Sox, text came in. All I ever hear about is Bryant, Baez, and Contreras. Has anybody checked into some of these stats? What's Moncada doing? How about Tim Anderson? What about James McCann? You guys have Cubs blank, stuffed somewhere blank. Yeah, too much. Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You're wrong. We also talk about Kyle Hendricks. We talk about John Lester. We talk about everybody where because yes. The Cubs are a much bigger story. The Sox didn't, we talk about the Sox as we see fit. Frankly, they have a much smaller fan base than the Cubs do. I'm sorry you're not getting what you need here, but what have we not said about those players in the last week or so? We've all been complimentary. I listen to the radio station a lot. I hear all of the shows talking about the White Sox. Your White Sox are not being disregarded here or disrespected. They get discussed. Ozzie Guillen was on today, wasn't he? Maine? You got to come on Thursdays with Mully and Hart to talk about the ball club.
You know, when you start mentioning the three Cubs you mentioned, and I believe you mentioned three Cubs, the White Sox young players have a ways to go to get to there. The Chris Bryant and Javi Baez. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got a little road to travel here. It's not that we're saying you can't travel that road.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. But, you know, I think we could recognize good. I think you can kind of look at that and say, hey, you know what? He's really pretty good. And he's been good for a while and he's going to stay good. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And maybe the White Sox have three or four of those guys. I hope they do, but you still have, there's a little thing called the proving ground that's still left here.
Absolutely.
Show me the season. I mean, Mankato last year was just hideous. Awful.
It was too early to write him off, but early returns were lousy.
Yeah.
So I thought that was the biggest thing coming into this season. Show me Yoan Moncada can play.
Relax.
And play consistently, and so far he's answered those questions.
Yeah. I'm pulling for Rakan. I hope this all works.
This hour of the show is brought to you by Crystal Lake Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. We'll get a national perspective on this.
Yes.
John Morosi will join us in about 10 or 12 minutes here on the McNeil and Parkins Show. Parkins is on holiday. Terry's with me today. Terry Bores, original score afternoon host, goes back to 1992. But I knew him when he was just a writer from Steger. When I was...
That's on my business card.
That's what you've always preferred, right? To
yes.
be known as just a writer from Steger.
Yeah, I didn't have any, you know, motives for doing anything with you or anybody else. That's the thing. I had no motives. You think for one second, you've known me a long time. Did I have a design at any point in my life on a radio career?
Not that I recall. No.
No.
But in elementary school, I knew I wanted to be a sports writer or a sports broadcaster. This sports radio had not started, but you think play-by-play or you think being a reporter or something like that. And I always loved reading the newspapers. And as I was a fifth grader, I had a paper route for the Lansing Sun-Journal, which published on Thursdays and on Saturdays. And then they tried to go to three times
employer,
a week.
My first employer, yeah.
They were biting off more than they could chew. About 18 months of that, they said, we're exhausting our staff. We gotta go back to 2 days.
I have some funny pictures from those days.
Saturday mornings, on the ping pong table, folding up my 40 copies of the Lansing Sun-Journal to deliver to the fine denizens of Highland, Indiana, there I was reading Terry's Turf as a fifth grader. Reading Terry's account of high school basketball games.
And what did that
games.
Do for you?
Oh, you captured the spirit of Mike Sorrell's 72 Trojan squad. Yeah.
I mean.
So that's my first experience with this dude. I'm in fifth grade reading him in the Sun Journal.
So I'm thinking that, yeah, I guess I probably should have stuck to that rather than, I mean.
I think you did all right.
You know, there was no outlet for it. And what outlet there was wasn't, I just never thought of it. It wasn't something that was part of my DNA. I didn't think about, you know, this broadcasting thing sounds pretty. Never at any time. Even when we did shows together. I didn't think about it at all. You know, I didn't think about, well, you know what? I can make a living at this. No, I can't. Idiot.
Yeah, it took you a while to buy in. Fishman asked me about that today. Matt Fishman, who works with Jason Barrett. It is Jason Barrett. I get confused. Jason Barrett, Michael Barrett, Jason Barrett. He writes for Jason's website. And he's like, why did it take Boris 7 months to join? I said he didn't believe in the business model. He wasn't sure if it was, you know, it was a daytime-only radio station. He didn't know anything about WXRT and what Diamond Broadcasting had done with that product. I don't blame him.
Over my head.
Because newspapers were secure in 1992.
Well,
now they're
not for
dinner,
me,
now they're
over
a
my
dinner
head.
Menu.
Yeah, it was over my head. I mean, it wasn't something that I ever thought of as a child or a young adult or a big adult. None of it did it ever occur to me. You know, if I spend enough time with Dan McNeil, that's all going to rub off on me and I'm going to make a living doing this. No, we just had fun with it. I mean, I didn't think, leading to something. No, I didn't do all that stuff with people and do the, because I don't forget Sports Fire when I was on Sports Fire.
Oh, with Mike Lederman.
Jimmy Kizios. Yeah. We're still in hiatus. We're still considering a comeback. We're still bouncing back. We have thoughts left over from the early 90s. A whole different era and a different age. But there was nothing that ever told me. There was no signal. There was no, I was looking for a signal somewhere. Is this you? And the answer was always, no, numb nuts. It's not you. That's not what you do.
Did you take any aptitude tests when you were in high school? It was supposed to tell you what you might be best suited for. You didn't?
No. I think best suited to be fired. I would have won that.
I want a job one, with the least amount of responsibilities whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't. Didn't think about it, and I even when we started doing the show, I wasn't sure. It had nothing to do with you. It wasn't that I didn't believe in you. That had nothing to do with you. It had to do with, why would people accept me? What have I done that people would accept becoming part of my life, part of our lives every day, that they would want to listen? What have I done that says, oh yeah, he's a guy you want to hear? I didn't think he was a guy who wanted to hear from, let alone be that guy. So it's
your opinion of your own work was very distorted. It was. You didn't have the same regard for it that a lot of other people had.
No,
I don't know why, but
I still don't. I always always beat myself up. I mean, I think when you fail enough and you get fired enough and you realize that what you managed to piddle away more than anything else, I think you always have that stigma about you that I'm really not sure this will work either. And I still have that stigma, and it helps. It certainly keeps you grounded. Certainly keeps you grounded. You know, I don't think there's any part of me that still believes this happened. I still have a tough time believing this actually happened. And it's only 25 years of it. You know, I mean, I still have a hard time believing it, because I thought the shows we did together were pretty good.
They were okay.
They're okay. Yeah, they were, yeah. But I didn't think, oh yeah, now I'm set up for the future. Danny and I will be together sooner or later.
It turned
I don't know
out
where.
Being okay though, didn't it? It turned out okay.
Yeah. And we were together.
We do not have the prolific birthday we had for you yesterday, listeners.
No.
And it's only once a year do we come upon May 15 where we can celebrate George Brett's bad night at Kokomo's Crab House or Kokomo's Steakhouse in Vegas. Only 354 days, 364 days
you do it
separate
again.
Us before between the next time we'll hear that glorious 3 minutes of audio.
Went to Kokomo's, a great little steakhouse.
I got more reaction on that yesterday on social media, messages, than anything else we did. Keep the Brett stuff coming. Okay, next year we'll do it again. We'll do it twice next year. We won't even need a reason. But we do have the birthdays of Rick Rushel today, great Cubs right-hander, 70 years old, the ageless whale. Jack Morris, big pain in the ass he was, Hall of Famer, 64.
I believe he's tried to be reformed from
Is
being
that
a pain
right?
in the
he's
ass.
A recovering a-hole?
Yeah, he's a recovering a-hole. Okay.
Do you have a story from your days in Detroit with him? Did you cross paths at all, Terry?
No, I did not go near him. By choice. Yeah, I knew some of them a little bit from covering on my weekends and stuff. But no, I don't even know if I'm maybe toward the end he was there. But no, you were told not to go near him. There are certain guys that the guys who actually were looking out for you a little bit said, don't go near that guy. And there was a couple of them on the Tigers. So I didn't go near him. I went to Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker and Dan Petrie. I mean, guys that, I knew you could sit down and have a conversation with without being a jerk. So I basically, even if they didn't do anything.
Were you there in 84 in Detroit when they won it?
No, I was here.
Okay.
I was here. I switched to Sun-Times in 80 after they made me find another job first. And then I bought a house, and 6 days later, they made me a job offer. So great. Thank you. okay. I was set to stay in Detroit. I mean, I liked it there. It's a strange thing, right? I mean, I don't know how many people actually say they like it anymore. I don't know if they still do, But I enjoyed my time there. We had fun.
Well, nobody who works, nobody wants to live in the city. It's all
outskirts. You don't want to live in the city. You don't. But I had fun there, and it gave you a little bit of respect in the business. It gave you something that you didn't have where I was. I mean, it gave you a little bit background, and the Sun-Times would not hire you unless you'd worked at a major paper.
Salute. Yeah, you got it, Shep. Everybody, Tanny, yeah, well, major paper. Salute.
Major paper, yeah. It's like, well, wait a minute. So any guy at a smaller newspaper is no good? You can't see that it's either good or bad. It doesn't make any difference where it's either good or bad, right? No. You must have job with major paper. Call me then.
We got to take a time out. We're going to get John Morosi in here in a little bit.
Good.
And continue with the White Sox stuff. And we'll talk about Jack. White Sox coverage, we'll talk about Jack Morris no-hitting them early in the 84 season, if you want to.
Hey.
At that game at Old Comiskey Park. They didn't allow Charles Comiskey in that day either. And we don't have great birthdays. We got a great death anniversary. I want to run by you in just a little bit. Yeah. One of your favorite dicks passed away on this day in 2013.
Well, I have many favorite dicks, you know.
Well, that's where I'll be taking you. Stick around. McNeil with Boris sitting in for Parkin. Sports Radio 670 is the score.
Hey, John boy. How's the weather?
John Morosi.
Hello to a new adventure. Living my life in Michigan, my home state, surrounded by family and friends.
Columnist for MLB.com.
I think that with the White Sox, to see Moncada, the consistency of his work was really important. I think they're going to hit.
Out of here! Yoan Moncada drills it!
MLB Network Insider.
I think Theo at his worst. He would have no reason to begin a season with this framework of urgency and some pretty candid commentary and rhetoric about his own team if there was not some teeth behind it.
October starts in March.
Fox Sports Baseball contributor.
Yeah. Fox Sports Baseball God. John Paul Morosi.
I'm a guy. I'm not the guy.
John Morosi.
How about this for a homecoming?
With McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Yes, indeedy-do. MLB Network, Fox Sports, NHL Network. This man has many business cards. You can follow John Morosi on Twitter at John Morosi, J-O-N, because John's known forever. You don't need that H. J-O-N-M-O-R-O-S-I. Joining us from Detroit. How are you today, John?
Dan, Terry, how's everything going, my friends?
Everything is terrific. Great. We have a city that has a couple of very interesting baseball teams, one competing for a championship, the other trying to become relevant. Let's start with the White Sox. What have you seen from the boys lately, especially with their starting pitching, that should give a Sox fan a reason to be encouraged?
Well, Lucas Giolito to me is a big story, and I love the story that was done on him by Chuck Garfine about the advice from Frank Thomas about throwing inside. All of a sudden, he's taken that to heart, and now is an ERA under 2 for about the last month or so. That's very encouraging for the White Sox. I know right now with the rotation, some concerns with Banuelos of late and just how much depth they've got there at the upper minors to handle that if there's another absence coming up for him with the shoulder issue. But I think in general, the trend lines are positive with Giolito, certainly with McCann. He's played really well over the last month or so behind the plate, which certainly is a key part of their overall run prevention. I think the comments, interestingly, by Rick Hahn to MLB Network recently about having maybe a long-term home for Jose Abreu stood out to me as well. That I don't think Rick would have made those comments unless there was something that was at least understood mutually about what it would take to keep Jose around long-term. So that really stood out to me as well. But in general, I think it's a division that will be won by the Twins or the Indians with a pretty high degree of certainty. I don't think the White Sox have the rotation stability yet to make a serious run. But with some tweaking and maybe with some good health for them, as they look towards the end of the season and next year, I think that a contending window for the White Sox is not that far away.
I was just going to ask you, John, just along the same lines, just, you know, how difficult is it to judge a rebuild? Because there's so many ups and so many, a lot more downs sometimes than there are ups. I mean, when you try to, in your mind, you try to mesh it all together and say, where do you think they're at? I mean, and listening to you, and the White Sox are sort of all over the map with guys hurt and still question marks. I mean, is this normal for this place and time where they're at in this rebuild?
I think so, Terry. And part of it, too, is every rebuild has to be judged against the competition. And the White Sox are lucky that they are not going to be in a division with four other teams that spend $200 million a year on payroll. They're just not. That's not, at least not in any sort of current conception of the economics of the game. It's not going to happen right now. So They're fortunate in that the Indians are probably nearing the end of their winning window if they're not there already. And the Twins, as strong as they look right now in first place at 27-15, they made the playoffs 2 years ago, and then last year were a disaster in some ways. So it's that consistent winning opponent in their division that they've got to deal with for the next 5 or 10 years. Like, for example, the Blue Jays and Orioles are going to have to contend with in the East. They don't really have that in the Central, and that's good for the White Sox and their fans. So they can start to imagine and script a path for the White Sox to be a competitive team sooner because of the relative strength of the teams in their division. So, yes, you know, you'd love to see better health this year from, you know, from the likes of Kopech, and that was a big loss for them. I'm sure White Sox fans would love to see Cease in the big leagues right now. Of course, we've heard a lot of great things about what he's doing in the minor leagues. But I think in general, outside of some of the injuries, I think things are trending in the right direction. I think for the White Sox, a good look, you know, at some of the future there. Certainly, you'd love for Jimenez to have made a better first impression. But I think in general, there are some positive trend lines there. Still, I think the report card on the rebuild, to your point, is somewhat incomplete because you just don't quite see all the pieces together yet. And it takes time. Think back to the Royals, guys, earlier in this decade, how long it took them. It looked like they were close, and then they had to be patient for a couple more years before they finally broke through in 2014. It takes time. But I think White Sox fans should believe that in this division, it's going to happen eventually.
Baseball insider John Morosi with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles from which to choose. More on James McCann, please. You saw him in Detroit for a little while. He started his career very favorably a few years ago there, and some injury problems have precluded him from getting many full-time opportunities. He's going to be 29 next month, John. Do you think he is good enough to fit into their long-term plan?
Well, I think at the way that he's hitting right now and the way he looks behind the plate right now, I think so. I mean, to your point, I think health is a key thing for James, and I think last year he wasn't really fully healthy. It looked like he just didn't quite have a full spring training under him and just didn't quite look comfortable the whole season. Now he's really mashing, and as you know, he's got 1 year of arbitration control beyond this year. So I think the White Sox, to me, bringing him back, this year was a $2.5 million deal. I think bringing him back with a legitimate arbitration increase, which depending on how things play out in arbitration, is always interesting when a guy gets non-tender and then he comes back and signs a $2.5 million deal. No matter what it is, if he's hitting like he's hitting right now, he's going to be worth it at the price point that he's got next year in arbitration. So this year, next year, I think he's on the club unless something changes. And then by the end of next season, you got a chance to really evaluate things. I'd be surprised if the White Sox sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal this season, for example. I think you want to wait and see how the rest of the year plays out and what other options are out there. But I think James has done a very good job of reestablishing his value. He's, as you know, great in the clubhouse. He's a tremendous person. I think that matters in terms of game planning and being someone who is easy for the pitching staff to work with. So as the White Sox look at having a young group of starters coming in here in the next couple of years, McCann is a guy that at the very beginning of his career in Detroit, he was catching Scherzer and Verlander and some pretty big names with live stuff. It was not an easy staff to catch. And so he's got a lot of background in that and in handling different types of pitchers. So I think if I'm a team that's getting better, I like the idea of McCann being behind the plate for this year and next year certainly, and then after that season is over or towards the end of next year, maybe you think about revisiting a multi-year possibility there when you get a little bit closer to the end of the 2020 season.
Now on the other side of town, John, we need a Hugh Darvish whisperer. I mean, can we find one anywhere?
can we get to him? That's a great question. Hugh Darvish, I tell you what, so he has a great outing last night, but still it's the issue of getting deep into games. And I think that he's gotten this message from people with a far greater pitching acumen than certainly I would ever dream to have. So he's not going to be taking his pitching advice from me, nor should he. But to me, he's going to have to work on at some point in time for the Cubs to feel as though they get full value out of the deal. He's going to have to find ways to get deeper into games and be more efficient. He's still, to me, outside the zone far too often.
Hugh Darvish, that's a whole nother subject.
Tom Fair's got it, too. He loves his Hugh Darvish. You know, when we were in training camp, we were sitting with Theo Epstein. I told him that what I thought was going to be most exciting about this season was watching that grizzled veteran staff go at it. And sure enough, they have been a delight to watch. I don't suspect John Lester is going to sustain what he's done thus far, and maybe some others won't as well. But I struggle to think of any staff right now that is I'd rather have in baseball than the Cubs.
Well, you're right. And interestingly, the Cubs right now rank third in baseball in ERA as a team. And they're second, actually, the team just ahead of them, the Reds, they're going to face tonight. And Luis Castillo, very underrated arm on the mound, one of the best changeups in the game. So watch that closely this evening with the Cubs and the Reds. But I think, in general, the point about Lester is well taken. And actually, as I was thinking about our conversation today, I wondered a bit about the Hall of Fame case for John Lester. And now he's not near the end of his career yet. He's 30, his age 35 season. But if you look at all active left-handers in the game right now, think about this. Only three of them have thrown 2,000 or more innings with an ERA under 3.5. And two of the three are on the Cubs staff. Lester, Hamels, and then, of course, Kershaw.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, guys. You look at Lester's numbers and Hamels' numbers. They are, first of all, they're almost the same age. And you go down to even stats like runs allowed and hits allowed and innings pitched, they're stunningly within very small amounts. So for his career, Lester has struck out 22% of batters. Hamels has struck out 23. The fielding independent pitching for Lester is 3.6. Hamels 3.67. ERA is 3.46 for Lester, 3.39 for Hamels. Both have been World Series champions. 2,400 innings for Lester, 2,600 for Hamels. So they're very close in terms of their overall career resume. And now it's going to depend on how far they go. They're not Hall of Famers probably yet on this day, but if they can add some more bulk in terms of their overall resumes, they've already got the hardware of the World Series and the different postseason awards. Guys, they are working on excellent resumes for this generation of pitchers. And what Lester has done right now, the last month, he's been basically the best lefty in baseball. So to me, I always love watching the reinvention of pitchers, and they're both doing it right now, Lester to an even greater extent. And it's now to the point where you think about where they're at, how well they're still pitching. It's almost a CC Sabathia situation. 5 years ago, I was not quite so sure if CC was going to be a Hall of Famer. Now I'm pretty certain of it, and I'll vote for him as a voter. And Lester and Hamels both have a chance, I believe, to earn that check mark next to their names as Hall of Famers because of what they've already done and where they're trending right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, John, of anybody in baseball right now that has four starting pitchers going like the Cubs have going at this present time. You mentioned their ERA third in the league and so forth. But I'm not going to include Hugh. I mean, I know he's lost his translator and everything's fine now.
Hugh Darvish, that's a whole other subject.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. But I mean, when you look at, I don't know, I just haven't seen enough baseball to say to myself, well, that team's got four guys. I could send anyone out there every day and figure I have a chance to win.
Well, when healthy, The Rays are close to that, but of course, and they're a pretty avant-garde staff to begin with when you think about the opener. And now Glasnow is hurt, though, which I think really is a pretty concerning element there for them.
Yep.
You know, one team that I think is under the radar good with their pitching, but I still think is maybe one starter away from being a World Series team, at least on their best days, is Philadelphia. And Zach Eflin's off to a very, very good start this year. I know some of the numbers aren't great for Nola. He's been a little bit shaky. Interestingly enough, the best guys they've had this year have been Eflin and Eichhoff and Arrieta and Nola, kind of two of the name brand guys have been a little more mediocre this season. When they're all going, I think if Nola and Arrieta pick it up in the second half, that would be a great playoff series, Cubs Phillies. I would love to watch that series play out. I think so. That's, and certainly for me, the Phillies are not where the Cubs are right now. But if they make the right modifications, if they make a big splash like a Bumgarner, for example, then we're talking a major playoff series. I think we would see between those two teams. So there's a lot to like there. But I think in general, I think for right now, the Cubs, in terms of certainly the top four guys, I would say have the very best rotation in baseball.
Wow, John, noted philosopher Tony Soprano once contended that the lowest form of communication begins with the thought "Remember when?" But I'm gonna engage in it right now. Remember when this part on the calendar meant we were watching Blackhawks and Red Wings playoff games? Remember when?
I do. And guys, you know what? So, of course, for that to happen now, they'd have to meet in the Cup final, which I would love to see someday again. I always, to me, seeing those two sweaters on the ice is special anytime, any context. And I remember actually I covered Game 6 of the last time they met in the playoffs there when the Blackhawks won. There was the original disputed overtime winner, and then, of course, they scored the winner on en route to winning the Cup Final there back earlier this decade. But I'm actually, as we speak now, covering the Western Final, so the Blues and the Sharks, and a bit of a contentious overtime winner last night, but it's been a great series so far, guys, and you know, for me, this time of year, as a fan of hockey, I always keep one eye on hockey and playoffs this time of year anyway, so it's been fun to dive in and cover it, but it's still, of course, remaining focused on our national pastime as well.
All right. Great stuff, John. Have a great weekend. Take care.
Yep.
My pleasure, guys. Hope to see you guys in the studio here before the season is over. I'm sure I'll be getting to Chicago a bunch of times, so look forward to in-person conversation here pretty soon.
All right, just don't bat the puck with your hand, would you?
I will. No hand passes in the offensive zone, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Great talking to you. Thanks so much.
All right. Yeah, stop by. Have a beef with us. We'll get him from Mr. Beef on Orleans now that we solved the mystery.
You better say that every day now.
Mr. Beef is still
put
in
him
business.
Out of business.
47 years, never
gone.
Closed our doors.
I mean it. They're gone. What?
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves have advanced to the Western Conference Finals versus San Diego. Games 1 and 2 will be played Friday and Saturday night at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15. Visit chicagowolves.com. for playoff and ticket information. Cubs and Reds coming up shortly after the top of the hour with Zach Zaidman. Pat Hughes will have your descriptions at around 5:40 tonight from the Great American Ballpark. We'll scene set that a little bit and get to a few more on this day. A very special list for Terry. I got to get his Mount Rushmore of something, and I think it's right in his wheelhouse. Something.
I can back this one up, too, Ed, when you say it. I got something that proves I am an idiot.
This is the Score Sports Radio 670.
And there is no place to put Puig here. Boy, this would be some kind of battle and comeback for the Reds here. Deep fly ball, right center field, hit well, and this ball game is over. Lorenzen will come home. Yasiel Puig comes up large, and the Reds have won it in 10, 6-5 over the Cubs. How about that?
Same time tomorrow night, 6:40 first pitch. That means a 6:10 airtime here on the Cubs Radio Network. For the Cowboy, Jeff Brantley, and our producer-engineer, Dave Yeti Armbruster, I'm Tommy Thrall, inviting you to stick around for the Reds postgame show next. Reds win it. Final score, 6-5 on the Cubs, or on the Reds Radio Network.
Where am I? Who am I?
Little confusion. Jeff Brantley and Tommy Thrall had the call last night as the Cubs get tweaked in extras in Cincinnati. some big, deep pipes there at the big. Jeff Brantley, he's our first guy. That's big pipe guy, Jeff Brantley. He's selling product. No place to put him. Big draw. That was a colossal clout, too. No way that thing wasn't going to end it.
That's all right. You got Quintana tonight. Everything's
so exciting.
Fine.
They bring in the extra infielder, and he hits one that one hops the fence. Yeah, that worked.
Can't get a roll. You got to play the percentages.
Yeah.
Here's what Joe does.
Here's what Joe's going to do to line them up tonight. This is interesting. As they finish their series with the Reds, and they have not lost a series in, 10 or 11 straight series, 9-0-1 in their last 10 series. Kyle Schwarber will lead off tonight and play left field. Chris Bryant is the third baseman. Daniel Descalzo hits third, playing second base. Javi Baez, the shortstop, cleans up. Wilson with the unnecessary second L. Contreras is your catcher. Victor Caratini is playing first base.
Right at
so
it.
Rizzo still shelved. Yeah, Caratini up today.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Davis, that goof catcher, can't hit, sent down. Jason Hayward's playing right. Sparky, Albert Almora is in center field, hitting eighth, and Q will do the pitching.
Quintana. You're welcome.
I like me some Q. So that's how the Cubs will go to work tonight.
Cubs and Reds, finish it off.
Dick Trickle passed away on this day in 2013, Terry. One of your favorite. You're a NASCAR guy. You go back to the early 90s. You were on board with Rusty Wallace. You were you loved NASCAR, and you loved it so much that you would check in at hotels under the pseudonym of Dick Trickle.
I did. Hi, I'm Dick Trickle.
Yeah, I did. Here's what I did, though. This is by the time I did this, I wasn't really apparently enough of a fan, because I went to Vegas, and we stayed at a little different hotel than we usually do, and we found one finally where we always stayed. And it was not one of the well-known ones, but they treated us well, so we're good with that. My register is Dick Trickle. But 2 hours later, knock on the door, and they come up. There's flowers and beautiful candies and all this other stuff and nuts and everything they bring.
It felt bad for you because of your name.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to show you my nuts. Okay, go ahead. I got nothing to do. So they bring it in, and they say, Mr. Trickle, this is from the management. And I said, no. I didn't know they were in town at Vegas. Oh. They were racing at Vegas.
Why didn't you take
now,
his
I take First his of swag. All, I didn't know any of them stayed on the Strip. I didn't know that because I said, you got the wrong. How do you say to somebody, you got the wrong trickle?
You get the wrong dick. You get the
wrong, well, Dick I said, Trickle down off trickle. Of turn four.
Well, you bet he was. I mean, I was speechless. I don't know what to say to him. I just said, you got the wrong trickle. She said, Dick Trickle, right? Uh-huh. I said, yes, but not, I'm not him. I'm not him. She didn't believe me.
Yeah. Dick Trickle was born in Wisconsin, grew up in Wisconsin, was a cart driver, I believe, for a bunch of years.
Won a ton of
events, but did not win on the NASCAR circuit. Entered a bunch of them, but I don't think he won. Did he?
Not that I recall.
Now, that's not the reason he put a gun in his mouth 6 years ago today. He'd, at the age of 71, he'd been suffering from a ton of chronic pain and left a note next to him. He called 911 and said there's going to be a suicide. He told the 911 operator where he was. He was at the cemetery. He went to the cemetery with a shotgun, and he called 911 and said there's going to be a suicide. And he said, well, who? He's mine. And he gave him the address. They said, hello. He's gone. And
I remember thinking it's because I got his basket. he felt disrespected.
So
I got his basket.
So let's comprise the your Mount Rushmore of dicks. Dick Trickle has to be one of them, right? When you start the Dick Mountain, you begin.
The Dick Mountain?
That's the Ridge Hill. It's the Dick Mountain.
You begin carving away the face of Dick Trickle. Dick Trickle is on our Dick Mountain. Who else on your Mount Dickmore?
Got one, Chip?
Johnny Dickshot.
Well, yeah. Okay, I was thinking more like your first name, but Johnny Dickshot, yeah. He was an early subject on this station, as I recall.
That's
Johnny
correct.
Dickshot, huge.
Yes, he was.
Couldn't get enough of Johnny Dickshot. I don't
former NBA assistant coach Dick Harter, HARTER,
Oregon. Yeah, Dick Harter.
Dick Harter, or former Cubs pitching coach Dick Pohl. I submit for your approval. Or can I offer you a former Illinois running back Frosty Peters?
Another one I register occasionally.
Indirectly, Dick.
I had more names. I couldn't keep them straight. I would register as Frosty Peters once in a while, too. Dick Trickle, Frosty Peters. Ed Dickman toward the end. I mean, I used Ed Dickman.
Right.
Like to be around. And Ed Dickman, I'm sorry, I can't put him up to a Dick Pole. As much as I'd like to put Ed Dickman there.
First of all, when you need to change your shirt. When your name is Pole, you need to change it anyway. Give it something else.
Well,
Pole. That guy's going to suffer anyway, and his parents name him Richard? Yeah, go tell your buddies you're little Ricky Paul, little Dickie Paul. They're gonna love that.
Well, he kept it forever. I mean, I guess he didn't object to it. I would have trouble. I would not like that.
Does the list have to be sports people?
No,
because my favorite.
No, we'll take all dicks.
My favorite news pairing, at least on weekends on NBC 5 Chicago, is when Dick Johnson handles your news and Pete Sack takes
yes,
care of the weather.
That's exactly correct. Nicely done, Chaparino.
That's it.
That's the tag team of tag teams.
That's exactly.
God, I wish we had. I wish we had more than one Dick Johnson. One of my favorites. And Pete Sack caught my attention. Oh, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that.
He kind of grabbed you.
Dick Harter was an old time. That goes way back. Dick Harter.
Well, so do you and I.
Yeah,
this
we
is part of my bulging NBA Rolodex once upon a time. This hour of the show is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves have advanced to the Western Conference Finals against San Diego. Games 1 and 2, Friday and Saturday nights at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for playoff and ticket information.
And this segment is brought to you by Fogo de Chão, Brazilian Steakhouse, for premium cuts of meat only one place can satisfy. Fogo de Sean, Brazilian
don't
Steakhouse.
Don't forego it.
Why?
Go to Fogo.
Well, hey, I'm not closing them like you are. I don't close places. Why choose just one cut when you could have it all. Discover your favorites at Fogo in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville. Reservations, Fogo.com.
That'll do it.
That's my guy.
I got to think, you know what? I'm gonna have to spend the whole night now thinking of dicks. I'm going to have to do that now.
Yeah. Some of you who are texting, we appreciate you jumping in, but you're not getting what we're looking for.
What are we looking for exactly?
We know what we're looking for.
What are we in search of?
Yeah.
Dick bowl. Micah. I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Dick Trickle. It was a bad ending.
Guy had a professor in college, he says. His name was Dick Ballman.
Hi, I'm Dick Trickle.
You see the 773 texter's little league teammate?
I did. What is it?
Adam Beaverdick.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
All right, we'll try to bring it up to the 8th grade level tomorrow. 7th grade was so much fun today, though.
I don't think we don't need to bring it up.
No.
We know our people.
Matt Spiegel was with us today. Good to have Spiegs in the studio for an hour or so. And John Morosi from Fox and MLB. Yeah, he's good. I enjoy him. Yep. And he's wanting to have food with us when he gets to town. Not many guys
extend
me that
olive branch. You can't hit the puck with your hand. You cannot hit the puck with hand.
Not in
the offense. You can't hit it with hand. I mean, how could you miss that? What's wrong with you?
Just yet another example of replay not doing what it was intended to do.
Nothing ever ends anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Nothing ever ends.
Well, we wanted replay. We wanted technology to get in the way of it all, didn't we?
Well, you couldn't be more blatant what happened. Yeah. You could not possibly be more blatant. But I'm not Mr. Hockey. You are Mr. Hockey. That's why I go to you with that kind of information.
You're Mr. Goalie.
I'm Mr. Goalie.
Danny Plesac from MLB Network will join us tomorrow, and we'll do our own version of Can't Do It, thanking Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer, and Chris Tannehill, the surgeon of sound.
I love those guys.
Well done. Yeah,
I love your people.
They're good young men.
I love your people.
Terry, I'll see you tomorrow. One more? You got one more?
One more. I got one more in me, but you know, I'm old, and now I'm going to spend the entire time going home thinking about Dick Trickle.
At least really have a smile on your face.
But I want to.
I'm Dick Trickle.
Zach Zaidman in a few minutes with Cubs pregame. I'm Dan McNeil. Have a great night.
Thank you very much, and God bless America.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.